Okay, the wayside today's daf is daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Kuf Tes Zayin. We're holding the last four lines of Kuf Tes Vav Amid Beis, where the Gemara begins on my Shmuel. It says in the Pasuk, Lechem Oini. What did it say, Lechem Oini? You have the benefit of the Torah Or HaSholem. Lo Yisoychal Olav Chomet Shivas Yomim Toychal Olav Matzois Lechem Oini. What's the definition of Oini? Says the Gemara, Lechem She'oinim Olav Dvarim. This is Lechem upon which you say a lot of words. Meaning that the Haggadah that we go and recite, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Seder night, is based to a very large extent on the story of the lechem itself, about how, number one, the lechem oini is lachma anya, that is the poor man's bread that we ate as slaves in Mitzrayim, but even more importantly, it is the lechem which symbolizes geula, freedom. How does it symbolize geula? Because, like the pasuk continues on, why is it lechem oini? Why didn't we go and let it rise and become full-fledged chametz? Ki bechipozen yotzosim yeretz Yisrael. We were thrown out of Egypt. Shnel aros. We didn't have a chance to wait until the dough would rise in the oven and become full-fledged chametz. Therefore, that is the lechem she'oinim olav dvarim that we say the Haggadah on and tell about the Sifrei Tzias Mitzrayim. Tanya mihochi etakarai from a brisa lechem oini lechem she'oinin olav dvorim harbe, that we talk a lot about the matzah and the morar and yitzias mitzrayim and the geula and the makis, etc. Dover ache nochapshat lechem oini oniksiv. If you look in the Torah, the word oini is spelled choser, meaning it only with a dot on top of the ayin, no cholam, no vav. Therefore, you could read it lechem oniksiv. What does that mean? Ma onishadarkoi beprusa, afkan beprusa. Which means that when we make the bracha of alachilas matzah, we take in our hands the middle matzah besides the upper and the lower matzah. The middle matzah, as you know, of course, is already broken because we broke it a long time ago at the time of Yachatz, and we put away part of it for the afikoyman, and the rest of it we left there. Now, why did we leave the rest over there? Because it's lechem oni, it's broken bread, it's not a full lechem, a full matzah, it's only a half a matzah. So why don't we just make the brach al achilas matzah on the prusa alone? And the answer is, you can. The reason why we take all the three matzahs together, explains the Rishbam, because I need the upper matzah and the lower matzah to have lechem mishnah like a normal regular Shabbos, that you go and make a bracha on lechem mishnah on the two matzahs. So when you take the three matzahs in hand, actually two and a half, two you're taking for the first bracha of the hamoitzi lechem min ha'aretz, and the middle matzah you're taking for the al achilas matzah. See, if you look at the Rishbam down below, first Rishbam, Avkan Beprusa, on to the next Talmud. Avkan Beprusa. Oh, why do you take the Prusa? Lavorech al achilas matzah. Period. You go and take the Prusa because that is the basis of making the Brach al achilas matzah on the Prusa lechem oni. What about the Shtei Shleimois? That's the Koyin and the Yisrael matzah, the one on top and the bottom. Oh, that's by Sina Mishum HaMoitzi, to be able to make the Brach HaMoitzi lechem in Aretz. It's no worse and no better than any Shabbos or any Yom Tiv. And that's why we go and afterwards, when we finish the two brachas, we go and cut into, we don't have to cut, but we break the first matzah and we take from it for the kezayis of matzah. Of course, that's not enough, so we have to go and take from the middle matzah the prus as well. And if you have a number of people at table, that also won't be enough, so you'll have to add more matzahs. And then we leave the bottom matzah later on for the korach. But anyway, getting back to Gemara, so lechem oni, that you have the prusa in the middle of the three matzahs, and you make the alachilas matzah. Prusa means the broken one.
Ah, say the currency.
The broken, yeah.
No. Is the whole thing with the... I'm apologize.
You don't have to apologize. What's the problem?
The afikoman, is that another anchor in having the children involved and excited and asking questions?
The answer is yes and no. What means yes and no? The fact that we have the afikoman that we cut, we break it at the outset, and then we put it away and have the children go and steal it, we had before in the Gemara that at the time of the Seder, choitfim es hamatzis. And there were a number of different pshatim, what that choitfim means. And the Rambam says that choitfim means is that if you had a number of people at the table together, each one having their own Seder plate, so Reuven would go and snatch the matzah, what we call the afikoyimin, from Shimon. Shimon would snatch it from Levi. Levi would take from Reuven. Reuven would take it from Getzel and from Beryl, and they would all go and snatch from each other. Today, of course, that's evolved not to the adults taking one from the other, but the children go and take it, and then, of course, they extort from us these huge rewards and awards. In that respect, it's Kadesh Yishol HaTinoikis. But the reason why we actually break it is we put away that portion for Afikoyman. Afikoyman reminds us of the Korban Pesach, because the Korban Pesach was eaten at the end. Why was it eaten at the end? Because it should be Nechal Al HaSoiva, that you should already be pretty full, not totally full. If you're totally full, then you're eating Achila Gasa. But you should be pretty full, and now this should kind of fill up whatever vacuum is left in your stomach and say, ah, Machaya. Korban Pesach. Unfortunately, now there's no Korban Pesach. Maybe this year there still might be. You never know. But in the interim, we take as an option, as an alternative, we take the Afikoyman. So we break it for the children, and we break it so you should have the Prusa to be able to make the bracha of Lechem Oni al Achilas Matzah. Yeah. And then the other part we leave over for the Afikoyman, and the children steal it to be able to go and make, to keep them awake. Dovrache, noch abshat in lechem, oini lechem oni, ma darkishel oni hu masik vi ishtei oifen. If you have an oni, unfortunately they are very poor. If they ever want to go and bake something, they don't want to waste any of the firewood, any of the fuel. So what do? The oni works together with the Mrs. Oni as she is preparing the dough. And as she is kneading it and getting it ready for baking, he heats up the oven at that time. What happens as a result? She goes and bakes. As soon as she is finished with the kneading and with the doing whatever you have to do to prepare the dough for baking, she's formed it and she's made it into whatever. Then he says to her, Mrs., good news, the oven is red hot, put it in right now. And she puts it in. So it's a joint team effort. And as a result, we don't lose any time, we don't lose any fuel, any wood, in heating up the oven while she's preparing the dough. Afkan, here too, Nami, hu masik v'ishtei oifer. Meaning that this pasuk is now telling us, not hilchois seder, as we thought until now, that the first shot was, say a lot of Torah and say a lot of Shevach Vaidor to Kodesh Baruch Hu in the presence of the Matzis, the Lechem She'oinim Olav Dvarim Harbe. That was the first pshat. Now we're not talking about the Lechem Oni that you make Al Achilas Matzah on behalf of Matzah, but it's telling you Hilchois Chometz U'Matzah. You want to make sure that the Matzah does not rise and it's not Bo Lidei Chometz. The best thing is have a team effort of the Oni and the Ishtei together. Don't allow just the wife to do the baking, and therefore there's going to be some delay factor between the baking and the kneading and putting in the oven. Work as a team. Kedei Shaloi Lahachmetz, it shouldn't be Kamchot. That's how the Rashi and that's how the Rishbam learn. Nothing to do with the Seder, but rather don't allow it to become Chametz. The Rav Haigoin is quoted in the Rosh as giving another halacha, and that is that preferably a person should bake his own matzahs. A person should bake his own matzahs just like an oni goes and bakes his own matzahs together with his wife. Not only matzahs, but bread throughout the year, and challah throughout the year, and cake throughout the year, so that they don't lose any valuable money in heating up the oven while she's working on the dough, and therefore she might spend extra time on the dough and it could rise, and etc. etc. Says Rav Haigoin, what the Gemara is telling us is lechatchila, a person should go and bake his own matzahs, not to rely on anybody else, not to rely on hashkoches. Go and bake your own matzahs, then you know it's going to be really, really kosher. The reason why we don't do this today, of course, it's much more feasible to go and do it commercially through a bakery, because a lot of people don't know the halachas. It's not easy to go and get hold of wheat which you didn't have any water on, that had shmira, mishas, katsira. Not everybody has an oven. Do you have an oven in your home, that a stone oven that you can go and bake matzahs in?
Not a stone oven.
You're just a regular oven. A regular oven. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, today it's not practical. But as I said, if I go and it's brought in the rush, Ois Chavov Mendi. Look, Ois Chavov in this paragraph. Bruchem to you. Zokti, what about Avabish Ein Charoises Mitzvah? Oh, we go back to the Mishnah. Mishnah says that we brought in the Seder plate, the Kara. And on the Kara, we had all the wonderful delicacies. We had the Matzah and the Chazeres and the Charoises Ushnei Tavshilin. Shnei Tavshilin, remember, we said is the Zeroya and the Be'er. And then the Mishnah said, why do we bring in Charoises? Avabish Ein Charoises Mitzvah. Even though Charoises is not a Mitzvah, it still has a nice place on the Kara, on the Seder plate. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadik said, no, it is a mitzvah after all. And when we learned the Mishnah, we said, what mitzvah is there? Why does the Tanakhama say, bring it in if there's no mitzvah? And Rashi said, very conveniently, the Gemara Mafash. So we're getting to tell the Gemara now. Why does it get such an honored place on the Kara if it's not a mitzvah? Do you put on the Kara other things? I'm sure many of you eat potato kugel on the night of Pesach. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Do you go and put on the Seder Kara, oh, it's a piece of potato kugel? Of course not. Nothing to do with. So why do you put the Kara? It's not a mitzvah. What's it doing there? Amramami Mishum Kapa. Now what is Kapa? We already had Kapa yesterday. You remember? Exactly. Daniel remembers. It has two pshatim. Either it means the acridity, it means the sharp taste. You remember Rishbam compared it to the taste when you go and eat raw onions. That onion also has such an acrid taste. So too, so does romaine lettuce. Number two, also it has these hidden worms that unfortunately may be alive, and you want to go and kill those worms, so you go and put it into the charoises, it kills the worms. So we had two reasons, and that's why you have the charoises on the Seder plate, to go and counteract any, to nullify and neutralize any bad effects, any negative effects of the mar. And now the
charoises acts as a
nullifier.
Nullifier.
Yes, exactly. Says Yimar Omer of Asi, Kapa de Chasa Choma. Kapa de Choma Karsi. Kapa de Karsi Chamimi. Kapa de Kulu Chamimi. The Kulu is Chamimi. What is the Gemara saying? Rav Asi says, I have an antidote for the following items that have an acrid taste to
them. Acid and base.
Like an acid, yeah, something like to neutralize that, exactly. So instead of an antacid, you have another remedy. So what is that other remedy? Exactly. Sounds kind of strange, no? Kapa de chasa. If you have the chasa, you're taking the romaine lettuce, and you're afraid that your romaine lettuce has too much of acid or acrid in it. What is the antidote? What's the remedy? Chama. Chama means to go and eat a radish. Kapa de chama, what happens if you eat a radish and you find that the radish happens to have a little bit too much acid or acridity? What should you eat is karsi. Karsi or creation. In English, they call leeks. L-E-E-K-S. You eat leeks. What happens if you eat kapa de karsi, you eat too many leeks, and then you feel a leak somewhere in your intestinal system, and you say, uh-oh, I got problems with my leak. Then you have chamimi. Chamimi just means to go and drink hot water. And in fact, says the Gemara, kapa de kulu chamimi. For all of the foregoing, if you have problems with your digestive system as a result that you've eaten too much romaine lettuce, or radishes, or leek, the best for all of them, the ultimate antidote for all of them is chamimi, is the hot water. Now what happens until the hot water heats up and you're feeling all of these stomach pains? Ad hachi b'hachi, until you get that hot water. Nei b'hachi, you should say the following lachash, the following incantation. Kofa kofa, the chirnalach, I remember you. Ulesheb ben asayich, and I remember your seven daughters. Uletamni kalaseich, and your eight daughters-in-law. If you say that, that will protect you until you get the warm water, and then you take the warm water, and that's going to clean it all out, and you're going to feel like a new person. That's if you hold that it's not a mitzvah. But Rabbi Lozor Tzadik, I'm a mitzvah. No, it's a mitzvah to have charoises. It's my mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Two pshatim. Rabbi Levi Oimer, Zeicher LeTapuach. This reminds us of the tapuach. It's a tapuach. A tapuach, of course, is an apple, but reminds us of an apple tree. Why do I have to remember apple trees in the middle of the Seder? So we go to the Rishbam and he explains the following. Zeich le tapuach. Go down the Rishbam, about halfway down the narrow lines, it says Zecher Tapuach at the end of the line. And the next line begins the Mesech the Saita. You have that around here? Around here, apparently. Yeah? Mesech the Saita? You have it? Yeah? Okay, Zecher Tapuach. Daniel, you have that?
Yes.
Good. Mesech the Saita. Shehoyu Yoldois Shom Beneim Bloy Etzev Shliakiru Behen Mitzriim Dechsev Tachas Hatapuach Oiraticha. What's happening over here is that the women in Mitzrayim know that the men, Nebuch, were sweating hard. They were acting, they had to work as slaves. They were being tortured by the Mitzrayim. At night, they would go and dress in a provocative way so that their husbands would be aroused and be interested in living with them. And not only, where did they do that? They had to do it, obviously, they had to have intimacy and privacy. So the Tapuach tree apparently has long leaves, and it was in a nice area, so they were secluded and they were able to live together. And the Pasuk continues on, Shoma Chabla Imascha, or something like that, with from Lashon of Chavle Leida, that in fact that the women used to go and give birth under those trees. So it wasn't that only that they made it under the trees, but ultimately they gave birth under the trees. And the Rashi and Rishbam is quoting Pesach the Sukkah, Sho Yoldei Shom B'neim, they gave birth to the children B'li Etzev without pain, so that it was quiet, Sho Yikir Ben Mitzrayim. Because the Mitzrayim, of course, as you know, they had a rule, an edict signed by Paroi, that Kolam Ben HaYiloid HaYoyer Tashlechu, we have to go and kill all of the Jewish children, male children. And so therefore, why did they go and, so what Kadosh Baruch Hu made a nes, that when they gave birth, it was B'li Etzev without any labor pains. As many of you know, when women are giving birth, it's tremendous agony. That's why many of them have to have epidurals and other types of things. Because it can be very, very painful. Yeah, what is that called? Lamage or something like that. Anyway, the point
that's different. That's what... Which is,
that's different.
That doesn't work. Then
whether it works or not, exactly. If it doesn't work, then they give you a shot.
Does it say they had intimacy under the temperature,
that's
they gave birth?
Both. The pasuk begins tachas et tapuach aratiha. That's where they had intimacy, and later on shomach chiblascha imascha.
Some is this a different kind of apple tree with long leaves.
I can't tell you. I wasn't there, so I can't tell you. And there's no. Soon going to be a thing that's going to go viral with the pictures of apple trees, but I'm not sure.
Anyway, apple picking is very pretty.
So that's the reason why we eat charoys. Now the question is, what does charoys have to do with apple trees and giving birth? It's very obvious. Because what is one of the main ingredients apples in the charoys? It's apples! Beautiful! Zeichel tapuch. V'Rabbi Yoichel Omar Oimer Zeichel letit. What tit? Tit means the clay that was used in Mitzrayim to go and use for the construction of the pyramids and all those other things that they were building in Mitzrayim. That the terrible pains that they had. These were other labor pains. The labor pains over there were the women's labor pains, and these are the men's labor pains out of the labor. Okay, so that's the reason why we have the charoises, because charoises has somewhat of a thick consistency. It reminds us of that clay. Om Rabbi, and therefore Rabbi says, Hilkach tzorach likiyuye v'tzorach lismuche. You have to do two things vis-a-vis our charoises. What do you have to do? Number one, likiyuye. Likiyuye means that you have to go and put in it the apples, because apples have themselves a little bit of a tart taste, and that tart taste, meaning it's not your sweet little apples. And this Gemara, I guess based on this, the suggestion is don't just use the Macintosh sweet ones, but use maybe green apples as well that have a tart taste to them, because the labor wasn't sweet labor, it also had a very tart feeling to it. So go and make it a little bit tart. The Tzorach L'smuch, and you also have to go and make it thick. To remember the tapuach, to make it thick, to remind us of the thickness of the clay. So you have to have those two components, two ingredients, when you're manufacturing your charoises. Tani kavas Rabbi Yochanan takarai to Rabbi Yochanan as vos tavlin zeichel teben charoises zeichel tit. Vos heist, in addition to the two ingredients that we just spoke about, we only really spoke about one, about the apples, but that you have to thicken it. You also have to put in tavlin. Tavlin are different types of spices, especially the cinnamon, and very often the women put in cinnamon sticks. Why do they put in cinnamon sticks? Zeichel teben, to remember the straw that they had to use to go and make the bricks out of the straw. They took the tevin and they mixed it with the tit, and now they had the bricks, and they were able to go and use that in Mitzrayim. So the point is, that's why you put in these cinnamon sticks to remind us of the straw. Charois is echa, the tit, like we just said now, that's the tit of the clay. Tagrei charach shibri Yerushalayim.
Isn't that all this is happening right before Pesach? All these sugyas.
It's absolutely correct.
How? Every 7 years?
It doesn't happen. Even 7 years from now, it's not going to happen. The Pesachim is going to come out before Pesach. But Mendy has been announcing this now for the last 3-4 weeks, that we should go and learn Avri Pesachim, because we'll be really prepared for the Pesach Seder. So, Reb Lozer Reb Tzadik says, Kaichal Yoimrim, Tagrei charach shibri Yerushalayim. Tagorim are merchants. Charach, says Rashi, or Rishbam, reminds us of the Pasuk, Meitzitz min hacharakim. Going and peeking through, or peering from, charakim means from the cracks. And the cracks that we're referring to specifically are the windows of the stores where these merchants were sitting. So we're talking about storekeepers that have stores. They're looking outside from the cracks of the door or through the windows, and they make big announcements shortly before Pesach. Boyu, everybody come, utlu lechem, and buy for yourselves, take for yourselves tavlin, the spices, la mitzvah. What mitzvah? Of making the charoses. So Reb Lozer of Tzadik is bringing now a raya from the minhag ha'olam, like he said in the Mishnah. Because Reb Lozer of Tzadik said, the reason why you use charoses is not ain't a la mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. Because that's what Reb Lozer Tzadik said. That's what I've been hearing since infancy. I walk down the streets of Yerushalayim a day or two before Erev Pesach, and all the storekeepers say, come on, everybody come and get your cinnamon sticks, the mitzvah. What mitzvah? To go and manufacture the charoses. Okay, so the Mishnah
Bayit. The charoset to seal up the little cracks from which they were peering from. In their storefronts.
Depends how thick they made it, and whether it was really clay-like, or it was just a pseudo-clay. Okay, on to the Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah Vayta. Now we're going to continue on into the Seder on Seder night. Moskulu Koisheni. We already started previously in our Perek that you had that Kois Rishoin. You made Kiddush. We had a Machlokes Beishamay Beisil, what the order of the Kiddush was. Remember whether you had a Hagofen first or the Mekadosh Yisrael Basmanim first. And then we spoke about that yesterday. We spoke about the fact that you have to wash your hands before you dip the karpas into the salt water. Why do you have to wash your hands? Because of the fact that you have stam shniyos, stam yudaim shniyos saying, and you're going to go and make the water into a rishon, and then the rishon is going to go be metame the karpas. So that's already behind us. Now we're up to, and we already spoke a little bit about the Haggadah, the Dvarim Harbe, and now we're up to the second kos. Mosgul Koisheni v'kan haben shayl. No, I'm skipping ahead. The kois, of course, the Koisheni we're talking about is the kois that you pour right before or during the manishtana. So Mosgul Koisheni, they're pouring out the second kos. V'kan haben shayl, and now the son begins to ask. What does he begin to ask? The fiakashis, the manishtana. Now who does he ask? V'kan haben shayl oviv. He goes and asks his father. Now why over here does the ben start asking the question? So, Pashim Shad is, that's the timing. That once we're pouring the second kos, then he goes and says, okay, Tati, you have the four kashas and the manishtana, and he reads it off in Hebrew and in English and in Yiddish or whatever else he's learned in school. But the Rishbam says, the Kana ben Shoyl means that as a result of the Mzigas HaKos, that spurs on the son to ask a question. What question is he asking? He's saying, Tati, normally when we start the meal, we wash our hands, and then we make a moitzi on the bread or on the challah, etc. Okay, I know that tonight we make Kiddush. Well, we do that every Friday night, that I understand. But now we're, second time we're making Kiddush, and we're nowhere near eating. They don't have the food here yet. They're just going and pouring on another kos. I mean, isn't this ridiculous?
What's going on?
Exactly what's going on. Oh, so Tati says, now that you asked the good takasha, we got more kashas to ask. What other kashas? Yes, etc. So this is kind of an introduction to the manishtana that the ben is going to begin saying.
So why taka on the wine itself? No kashas being asked. Why should be five kashas? Why tonight's more than a cup of wine?
He can't ask about the four kashas, but the four cups, because he didn't get to the four cups yet. The question is, why don't he ask about the second one? But look, you see the Rishbam down below, 5-6 lines before the wide lines. Kan haben shoyl, Kan b'mzikas kresheni haben shoylis ovith. Im huchacham, mind the king, if the kid has any brains, he'll ask, "Man ishtana achshiv shemoizin kosheni kaidem achila? Why are we pour? We didn't start eating yet, and we pour again and again. Come on, how much are we going to drink? I want to tachlis. I want to eat something, not just drink." And then he has another pshat, "Kena ben shor." Good. Anyway, this is Agam Samaisim. There was a Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald. Many of you may have heard of him.
Yes.
He was a Grace Askin, lovely person, a wonderful personality. He passed away a couple of years ago.
Yes.
He told the story that, and this must have taken place 25 or 30 years ago, that there was a Yid in from Eretz Yisrael that had been captured by, I think, not sure whether it was the Russians or the Arabs or whatever, and somehow this Yid went, or maybe he was in South, he was in Africa, I think it was Madagascar, if I'm not mistaken, and he was being held by the police over there, and they were making one of these international trades, from Syria, a couple of people, from Russia, a couple of people, from Israel, a couple of people, maybe an American spy. They were doing one of these things, which was never reported in the newspapers. Anyway, they said that this Yid can is free to go, but you have to have people pick him up on Seder night, on Pesach itself. If you come Pesach itself, you come and pick him up, fine, we're going to execute him. Ronnie Greenwald was a real macher and a really a Grace Askin, and he was very heavily involved in these negotiations, and then he called up Ramosha and he said, "Ramosha, am I allowed to go and violate the Hilchos Yom Tov to be able to go and pick up this poor fellow that was captured there?" The Moshe says, "If it's real pikuach nefesh, avade, you're allowed to go." So he went, and he went together with, at that time, Congressman Ben Gilman. Good. So the two, together with a pilot, whatever, they went in a helicopter, small plane, whatever it was. They arrived where they were supposed to, and they picked up the Yid, Baruch Hashem, they freed him. Ah, he's so happy. Takas man chay ruseinu. And then they went to a local Rav who was there, maybe a Lubavitcher, maybe somebody else, to hold the Seder. And they walked in the middle. The Seder had already started, and they were up to the Manishtana. And so Ronnie Greenwald points to Congressman Gilman and says, "Oh, you have to ask the Manishtana." "Why do I have to ask the Manishtana?" "Because it says in the Mishnah, Kan Ben Shoel. You're Ben Gilman. You're the one that has to go and ask the Manishtana." Anyway, he said this in the front of a big audience, and the people were rolling. It's a true story.
So, what then, country was this?
I think it was Madagascar, but I don't remember. Unfortunately, Rabbi Greenwald is no longer, but there are bound to be another few hundred people who remember, because it was a very memorable speech. He spoke at a Dirshu convention a few years ago. Anyway, so Mazguloi Koisheni Vekana Ben Choyel, over, and he asks his father, and he's going to begin now the Arba, the four kashas. Zok the Mishnah Vim Ein Das Beben. What happens if this is a young child and he doesn't have enough seichel? He has not studied the Manishtana and he doesn't know to ask the fear kashas. Of Malamda. So then the father has to go and teach him. What does the father teach him? Manishtana Laila Zemikola Leiloi Shibchol Leila Sonochlim Chametsu Matza Halaila Ze Kulai Matza Shibchol Leila Sonochlim Shari Rokais Halaila Ze Moror. When we say Halaila Ze Kulai Moror, why Halaila Ze Moror? Says Toysis, very simply, because he's already seen that there are Shari Rokais tonight. He saw the Karpas. We just finished with the Karpas Yachatz, and now we're up to Magid. So he saw the Karpas. So that's no kasha for him. I mean, he knows it is not Kuloi Moror. He knows that there's Shayarakas. We already went and put the Karpas into the salt water. So that's why you can't say Kuloi Moror. You just say Ayla Zemar. Shibchol Leilis Ano Oichlim Bosit Tzli Sholuk Umevushol. All other nights of the year we can eat meat anyway that we cook it. We can go and roast it, and we can bake it, and we can cook it, and we can fry it, and we can, etc. Halayla zeh, kulay tzli. Now, this one, of course, we don't say today. Rishbam points out that this was recited at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was standing. Why? Because everybody knows that you can only eat tzli, like it says in the Pasuk. So therefore, all of the meat that was consumed that night, that is the Pesach, the Karban Pesach, was tzli. And the Mefarshim add that this goes in accordance, the Tosafos says it goes in accordance with Ben Tema. The Ben Tema says that if you're eating Chagigos Yudalit, it's also Bo'ot tzli, just like the carbon paste. So that's three toises before the end. And so that's why he's saying, Halayla zeh kulo itzli, everything is tzli, not only the carbon pesach is tzli, but also the chagigas yedalet is tzli.
What is shaluk?
Shaluk means very, very well cooked. Bishul is means the normal cooking. Shaluk means it's cooked more
well
and
done.
More.
Yeah, extra well done.
Yeah, but well done is normally when you think of a steak that is very well, that it's almost right. It's hard. Here we're talking about cooking in the sense of boiling. I'm sure you know there's some people when they cook the chicken soup, so they put chicken in. Of course, most people today don't put in chicken, they just put in some spices. But in the good old days when they actually cook chicken soup with chicken, then if you left the chicken cooking there for an hour, then yeah, delicious chicken, but you came to the bones were still hard. But if you cook the chicken soup for 3 hours, then you can go and bite into the bones and get out the marrow, etc. So that would be the difference between bishul and shaluk. Shaluk means very, very well cooked for an extra hour or two until everything becomes extremely soft. Halal is a kulay tzli. Shebuchal leilos. Now, our girsa in the Mishnah is shebuchal leilos onu. Then you have to look on the side. Kimul. Onu matbilim. Onu matbilim. Pam echos. Every night of the year, we do tinkain. We do immerse our foods one time. Halayla zeh shtei pam, but tonight we do it two times. One, the karpas in the salt water, and the second time, the mor in the charoises. What is this that we dip in every night one time? The Gemara is going to address that shortly in Mitzvah Shem. Ulefi sh'at shel ben oviv melamdoi. After the manishtan is now concluded, then the son, depending on the maturity of the son, the father has to go and teach him. And that's why we, of course, we have in the Haggadah the Arba Bonim, the four different sons, one of them being the Tam, and one being the She'eni Yodea Lishol. You look at the maturity of each one of the sons, and if he's mature, then you talk to him and learning about what the Rambam says and what Reb Chaim Briska says, and things of that nature. On the other hand, if he is a young kid, then you go and explain to him clearly what this is all about. So that's what the Mishnah says: "Lefidatu shel ben oviv, shel ben lefidatu shel ben oviv melamdei." And how does he teach him? Maslo begnus and mesayim bishvach. That after the manishtan is over, then we start reading out in the Haggadah. We begin with gnus, with the bad, the negativity, and then we end off with shvach. Oh, the greatness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we thank a Kodesh Baruch Hu for all the chasadim that took us out of Mitzrayim and he brought us to him as his special nation. What? How are you maskel b'gnus and mesayim b'shvach? We're going to have a machloikis on the bottom of the omer between Rav and Shmuel. Stay tuned for more details. V'doyrish, and then you darshan in the Haggadah, Mirami al Ge'obi, Be'yir Mitzrayimah, Ach Yigmar Kol Parsha Kul, until you finish the whole Parsha. The Parsha that he's referring to is that at the beginning of Parsha Kisovoy, it says about Arami Oyved Ovi, Be'yir Mitzrayimah, there are a whole bunch of psukim. These are psukim that one recites when one brings Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, so there are two or three more psukim. All of those are incorporated as part of the Haggadah. Okay, Zoki Marton Rabban. Chocham Benoi She'aloi. Vim Eine Chocham Ishtoi She'altoi. Back in the Mishnah, we said that if the son is capable of asking questions, we let him ask the questions. V'kan HaBen She'al Ovav. Vim Ein Das Beben. If the son is just too young, he doesn't have enough seichel, he doesn't have enough learning to be able to ask the manishtana, then the father teaches him and explains to him, my son, manishtana, all the kashas, all the answers. Here the Bryce is talking about that the child is so young that he's not capable of teaching. He's still in diapers, and he's only 2 years old, 2.5 years old, and he understands the nashi, he understands maybe about dropping away the afikoyman, but when you try to explain to him, we were in Mitzrayim, it's just over his head. So, in such a case, you can't have the father teach him. He's just too young. So therefore, in our Brice, it says, if the kid is too young, then somebody's got to ask the manishtana. So then the wife asks the manishtana. The imlav, what happens if he has no wife, unfortunately, or if the wife is not capable of asking the manishtana, then who shall he ask? Then he has to go and ask himself. But for the shnei tamid chum, she yoidin behilcheis haPesach. And therefore the two chum, she'alam zelazat. What's this inyan of she'ela? Why do you have to ask? Because the pasuk says, ki yesh olcha bimcha machar lemar ma'azoyis v'yamar te'elav, etc. So since the pasuk uses the expression ki yesh olcha bimcha, Chazal understood that to mean that on the night of Seder night on Pesach, you have to have a she'ela u'tshuva. It's not enough just to come in Mesapi Yitzias Mitzrayim. It has to be in a question and answer form. So what are the questions? Oh, so we have already, Baruch Hashem, pre-printed, pre-manufactured questions that Chazal put together, and that's the Manishtana, like we had in our Mishnah, and like we have in our Haggadahs today.
That reinforces learning.
Absolutely. But you cannot say, what happens if a person is single, all on his own? As you all recall, last year, many Jewish homes, there were only one individual saying the Haggadah, because everybody said you can't go mix.
I sang the four Shalas to myself.
I'm sure you did a beautiful job. But why couldn't you just ignore that? Don't you know the answers already? No. The mitzvah is Shelu Tshuva. You have to ask, and if there's nobody else, you ask yourself. The Gemara is wondering, it says in our Mishnah, we just quoted, every night we're matpil pamechas. At least once every night we toivel something, we immerse something into something. You cannot go without immersing something in something. You have to use dips every night. You really have to. Now that the Lashon of Mishnah is really not accurate, but rather it should say the following. Every other night we do not have a chova. We don't have an obligation to be metabel, to immerse even once. Halayla zeh, we have a chova, we have an obligation, shtei pa'amim, two types. Maskel Rav Safra, chiyuv ledardiki. What are you talking about that there is a chova? So the way the Rishbam learns chova means that we go and put it into the salt water, as well as, well, not the chareis. Chareis you do because of the kappa, but put into the salt water is really part of one of many different practices to provoke the children, to incentivize them to ask a whole bunch of questions. Why are we doing this and why are we doing that? But it certainly doesn't rise to the level of a drabonan that you have to do it that way. These are just wonderful learning tools and skills to incentivize the kids to go and ask the question. And therefore, to go and use the expression that tonight we have a choiva. Every other night there's no choiva, but tonight is a choiva. It's a nice practice. It's the meaning. Yeah, it doesn't rise to the level of choiva. That's how the Rishbam understands it. However, other Mefarshim learn differently. And they're learning that this kid is all of 2, 3, 5, 8 years old. You're trying to teach him to be a lawyer, that you're telling him, all the other nights we don't have any obligation, right? No, there's no legal obligation. If you look it up in the law books, it doesn't appear. Tonight, there's a legal obligation because it's codified in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Come on, Dardiki is going to start asking about legal obligations. That doesn't sound right, that you would go and create the Manishtana for children, that they should start talking about legalese. And therefore, Ela Omrav Safra Hachitani. And of course, this is the lashon that we have in our Haggadahs. Any other night of the week, we do not maple. But tonight, we go and toivel, we go and immerse twice. And that's, of course, our nusach. And then we send the Mishnah Maskel, Bignusim Zayim Bishvach. My big nurse, what does it mean that we start with Gnusim Machlik is Rabbi Shmuel Rav Oma Mephila Uvde Avoidus Kachovim Avoidus Kilulum Hayabi Seinu? We're talking about really back to the times of Amram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, that pre Avraham we had a Zayda called Terach, and Terach was an Uvid Avoidus Zorah. That's where Maskel begins all the way back. Well, Shmuel says, no. The Gnus is referring to what happened in Mitzrayim. Avodah Meyin Lefarib in Mitzrayim. And Emma said, as you know, we say both of them, from Mekayim, both what Rav said and what Shmuel said. And that's why we say in the Haggadah, Mitzchilo Oiv Diavodis, Avodis Chachom Mayu Abiseinu, and then we also say Avodah Meyin. We have both in the Haggadah, both Rav and Shmuel. Now the question is, what's the Machloikis Rav and Shmuel? On the surface, it's kind of historical Machloikis. How far back are you Maskel Beginners? Do you go all the way back to Terach? Or do you go back to Mitzrayim? That's on the simple level. On a more fundamental level, more profound level, it's really talking about what's the Gnus. Are we talking about physical gnus, or are we talking about spiritual gnus? According to Shmuel, what the gnus we're talking about, the negative aspects that we were originally slaves, and therefore that was a very terrible physical condition that never we were tortured as slaves. Rav says we're not talking about kashmis, we're talking about rochnis, that unfortunately we were tortured, that we had in our ancestry before Avram Yitzvah Yaakov, we were oivdevoidezara like everybody else, we were pagans going and worshipping the oivdevoidezara. That's the gnus, and that's what we afterwards Messiah b'shvach, Baruch Hashem has not only taken us out of the physical bondage of Shmuel, but also the spiritual bondage of following the pagan practices, etc. Omli Rav Nachman the Doru Avdei, Rav Nachman said to Doru, his servant, at the time of the Seder, Avdei the Mafik Lein Mori L'Cheres, if you have an Eved where the Odoin, where the master gives him a Shtar Shikra, and he frees him, V'yoev Lein, and not only that, but he even gives him an award, he gives him money, Kasra V'dehava, my boy L'Meimelei, what would a slave say to his Odoin under those circumstances? Amalei would say, he should go and throw a party, and he should go and send thanks, and he should go and extol all of his virtues and say, oh, what a wonderful other, this is a great guy, and he gave me a kesef v'zav, and he's freed me. Amalei said, now once we heard that at the Seder, then Rav Nachman said to all those sitting there, Patrasim Eloim Manishtana, we don't have to ask Manishtana anymore. And possibly Amar Avodim Eino, and we started saying Avodim Eino. Now these words, Patrasim Eloim Manishtana, is a real hot potato that all the Mefarshim ask, what do you mean Patrasim Eloim Manishtana? There was no Manishtana back and forth Shelo Tshuva. There was a Shelo in the sense that he asked him, what would an Eved do under those circumstances? But the four shaylos that we're talking about is about Mitzrayim, about the Seder night, what are we doing differently, Manishtana. The choyer of the Patras Milay Manishtana is very, very difficult. And in fact, if you look in Diktuke Soifrim is the original prints, or the original manuscripts of the Shas, before they were printed, in most of them these words don't appear. And therefore, the choyer should be in parentheses. And it's Mashu from the Rishbam as well, that he's not going to say, because simple pshat is, oh, now that we heard Doru say that, leave out Manishtana, we're done, let's go on to Avodah Mayinu. Yet if you look at the Rishbam all the way in the bottom, Pasach V'Omar, last line, La'acha She'elas HaBen, others have a year, so La'acha She'elas HaEved, Hischa Lo'imar Avodah Mayinu, V'goyimar HaGodah B'Shev V'Vaydor, K'loyimar Kein Osulana Kodesh Baruch She'inu Avodah Vaytzi'anu Misham. What do you mean La'acha She'elas HaBen? What She'elas HaBen? What Ben are we talking about? What? It means there was a Manishtana after all. But the Gemara says, Patras Melayim Manishtana. So you see that Rishbam apparently did not have those words, and other Rishonim also not Koyris it, and rather you just skip it and you go, Pasach V'yam Ravodah Mayinu. So, but what is this Patras Melayim? What is the Gemara meaning, Pasach V'yam Ravodah Mayinu?
Yesterday, didn't
we? We had the same Lashon yesterday. Exactly right. If you go back five lines before the bottom of the Omid, Omali Rabba, Patras Melayim Manishtana. Over there, however, it was talking about that Abaye did ask him about what's going on over here at the Seder night. They just took away the table again. Okay. Why are they taking away the table? We haven't even started eating. Exactly. So that was an introduction. And then exactly. The Batni. Reb Simcha, Baruch Hashem, you arrived at the very right time. And in fact, just like Reb Simcha is reminding us, you'll notice there's a small little aleph before the Patrasim Eloimah here. Who is that? It doesn't stand for Reb Simcha, it stands for Rav Ranchburg. And you have that third Rav Ranchburg on the right hand margin, and most good Gemaras, others maybe have on the left hand side. You have a Ranchburg? Yeah. So he says, Omalei Patrasim Eloimah Manishtan and Nishbetzine, Ainli El Daf Kufta Zvavam Medbeis, don't forget about the Toises of yesterday. Tzim Amaskel Kadei Shiyakir, El Bepri Chodesh, Simen Tofayin Gimel, Sif Katotin, Vidoik, and look it all up. Anyway, the point is, yeah, just like we said yesterday, it doesn't mean that you're potter from the Manishtana, but Rishbam, the Toises said yesterday means that before you begin the Manishtana, you have to kind of get the kid ready, and you say, child, are you ready to go and ask any questions? Do you know what's going on? What do you see different about? Oh, now that you're commenting that there are differences, go and see the Manishtana. So here, however, there's no children mentioned at all in the Gemara, just mentioned Dora Avdei, and the Dora apparently was a person already, an adult. So what is this? You patted us from saying Manishtana. That's why the Rishbam is mashma. No, he didn't mean to patted Manishtana. He just meant to say, I don't have to do a lot of dramatizing and emphasizing about Avadam Hayin al-Farb Mitzrayim, V'yotzein Hashem l'ken misham. You heard it from Daru. Exactly like he said, he get free, you have to make a party, you have to go and show your Shevach Vaydo, and that's what's going on tonight. That's why he thought of Avadam Hayin. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. As you'll see, a large part of the next Mishnah is almost word for word taken from our Haggadah, or vice versa, the Haggadah is taken from the Mishnah, and some of the Mefarshim speculate that the reason why Rabbeinu HaKadosh included all of this Lashon was because they didn't have Haggadahs like we have today. This would be a way of codifying and incorporating it into the Mishnayos, so when a person came Seder night and he didn't know the Nusach, he would take out Mesechtas Arvei Pesachim, he'd take out the Mishnah, and he would start saying the Haggadah. So Rav Gamliel Ya'omer, Koshloi Omar, onto the Amidei, Shloshet Dvarim Eilu Bepesel, Liyotze Dechavosa, you have to say the following three, to be Yoitze, the Mitzvah, Sipi Yitzis, Yitzrayim, Ve'elu Hein, Pesach Matz Umar. And, again, a lot of the Lashon that we're going to say now comes from the Haggadah, or the Haggadah really comes from here. When you say Pesach Al Shema, what's the reason why Pesach? Shepasuk Baruch Hu Hamokim Al Bati Abasinim Mitzrayim. Shenema Vamartem Zevach Pesachu LaHashem Shepasuk Al Bati Bnei Yisrael, etc. etc.
Is he saying that this is a minimum, or that this is not? I mean, without this, this if you start the things, okay, this is the minimum. This is specifically not yotze.
According to Ram Gamliel, if you didn't mention the inyan of Pesach Matzah Mar, you're not yotze. It's Sipri Yotzeis Mitzrayim that night. So therefore, this is, as you say, it's a minimum. And then, of course, we have much more in the Haggadah as well, but this is the minimum you have to say, otherwise you're not Yotze. And this Pasuk says, Shenema v'amartam zevach Pesach. Oh, yitak have a mitzvah of Amira. Talk about the Korban Pesach. That's the Korban Pesach. Then we say, Matz al Shema. Matz al Shem Shenigol Abseim Mitzrayim. Shenema v'yiv yisabotze ki sheitim Mitzrayim. Ugois Matzis klei chomeis. Ki gorsh Mitzrayim v'yochlus mameya. V'gam tzed v'yosu lehem. We think of the matzah as being lachma anya, that's the poor man's bread, meaning that's what we ate in slavery, and absolutely that's a correct statement. But in addition to that, that's also the lechem she'oinim olav dvarim harbe, that we talk about the good things that happened. What was the good things? That we couldn't go and let the matzah rise, but rather we had to go and take that botzek, we chapped it out from either the kneading troughs or from the oven. We couldn't wait. And they didn't have sandwiches. So we took that batzik on our backs and we went and took it, and eventually it rose in the sun. How much did it rise to the form of a wafer that we call matzahs? Mor al shum shemora mitzrim eschayev v'sim mitzrayim shenema v'imor eschayeyem v'avoy dekasha v'choyim v'vulveinim, etc. So we mentioned that, we talk about that as well at the Seder night. And then we say, "Behold, Dor Chayvan Liros Asatzvekilu Yotzim Mitzrayim." Everybody has to feel as if he himself went out of Mitzrayim. She never got the Limchav Yehim Behu Leimar Ba'Avzei Os Hashem Li Betzayzim Mitzrayim Li. It happened to me. Everybody has to be lyricist. Atzma kilu hu yotzim Mitzrayim. You have to feel and you have to express your shevach vaydor to Hashem as if you yourself came out of Mitzrayim. That's what you say, li. There's another girsa which the Rambam has called Dor Chayiv Adam Laharis Esatzmai. Laharis Esatzmai means to go and show to everyone that you went out of Mitzrayim. And because of that, there's a minig, particularly among the Svardim and Taimina, and even among in many Ashkenazic homes, that the one that's in charge of the boss goes, "Ah, Shalom Aleichem, welcome.
Shalom.
Great to have you. Great to see you.
Baruch Mechai Meishin."
Exactly.
Brichim Aboy.
So,
I haven't seen you
in ages. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Good. So, Chayiv Onim Laharis Esatzmoy. You have a minig that some people go and take what appears to be like a sack on their backs, and they appear to go and be taking matzahs on their backs, and they walk around the table and saying, "This is the way we left Mitzrayim many, many, many years ago," to try to dramatize as much as possible, not just Lirois, but Laharis Esatzmoy, to show how we left with the Betzekam Al Shichmam, with the dough on our backs. I remember my Shvei Zichron Levracha, from who was that? Hungarian Oberländer. He did this every year at the beginning of the Seder. He would walk around and he would say, "This is the way we left Mitzrayim."
He had a sack of flour in his back.
Not a sack of flour, but some symbolic way of carrying the matzahs in back of him and saying,
"The nafkamina would be right."
What's what nafkamina?
Nirois is asmo, so himself. There's two things called, something called halosh shira and halosh kriya. Halosh shira is a spontaneous reaction to something.
Right.
So there's the tzatzim of them, and they say, "Don't make a brocha."
Right.
So you don't make a brocha. Why? Don't make a brocha halon. Because if you explain something, it's not a tikkun zikin. The halosh tzatzim of fakir is we're memorializing, we're showing it. In other words, we're not really going through it now. So the two, that would be the difference in the two ways to look at halon.
Good.
Halosh shira and halosh kriya.
Beautiful. Continues the Mishnah. Lefich anach nechayom lehoydes lehal leshabeach lefoil leroyim lehadal levarach leali lekalis lemisha osel avesin velonas kol nisim oelu hoytzian meavzes achedus miyog lesimcha miyevliyonta miyefeliar gadol mishab degula venim lefonav haluka argirsa is venim lefonav shira chadasha haluka
shira
chadasha shira chadasha.
That's the same nafkamina.
Shira and shira is the same thing.
One shira is spontaneous. Shira is. Spontaneous, and shira is more colorful.
Well, I'm very, very happy that you're raising the issue, because in Haggadah, in fact, we say the name of the fun of Shira Chadosha Haluka. But the reason why you're talking about Shira Chadosh is because in the bracha Asher Galon and Begol Asavaseinu, we end off in Noiblecha Shir Chadosh Al Gulasev. So the question is, why here does it say Shira Chadosha?
Exactly right.
And here it says Shir Chadosh. So what was the answer that you were trying to give?
So for the bracha is a bracha shkolonu, it's more of a codified thing, you know, where shira has to be certain
more spontaneous.
Spontaneous.
It's a beautiful, beautiful pshat. Grada Toysis has a different pshat. If you look at the second Toysis, the name of the fun of Shira Chadosh v'chein noidulecha Shir Chodesh al Geula Seinu, Dochi Tani b'Mechilta. Kol ha-shirois loshin nekeva chutz mishira de la'osid. The Loshon Zohar. Shira, of course, is a Loshon Nekeva. Shira is a Loshon Zohar. Kloima, Shanekevi yesh le tzar leida. Av kolanisim yesh achareyim tzar. Chutz mele osid she'ein achareyo tzar. Chen yosad apayit, and that's why you have in the Pitun that we say the 7th and 8th day of Pesach, Zulas yipasvish shiro yiseyla Loshon Nekeva miyusodim kishuasim keyeleida. Toikiv shir achareyim kizachorim lo yalodim shir lashem shir chodesh. So bottom line is, we had the beautiful pshat that we just heard now for Inzer Tayr Rechava Reb Simcha, and we have another pshat in the Toisis. The difference between Shira and Shir is Shira always involves a certain amount of tsar, just like a woman that gives birth. She is so happy, Baruch Hashem, she's a mommy. But it's tsar later, there's the labor pains. So therefore it's Shira. Mashen came, the Osad Lava, and when the eventual Mashiach will come, Satsar Azag Geula, a Shir without any tsar, it'll be totally painless. Then it'll be a Zocha Dikashir as opposed to a Nekeva Dikashira. Getting back to our Mishnah. Ad Heichenu Oimer. How far do you say in the Halal at this point? As we know, we split the Halal, part of it before benching, part of it after benching. Like we finish off Halal Nirtza. So now the question is, Ad Heichenu Oimer, how far do you say? The name of the fun of Haluka is really an introduction. Rabbeisai, we're getting ready to go and say Halal. So the question is, how far? Bishamim Ad Eima Bonim Semecha Haluka, which is the first shtickle that you have in Hallel, Beisel Amar Chalomish Lamayne Moim. Means you go through the second one, Beteis from Mitzrayim. You can sing it if you want, and then you get to the end. You say Chalomish Lamayne Moim, and there you stop. And then Mechoisim BeGeula, and then you end off Geula. Geula is that bracha that we just mentioned, Asher Golano, the Golas of the same Mitzrayim, which you finish off at the end, Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. Good. So Mechoisim means you end off now the first part of the Seder before you're ready to drink the second kois with Geula. Reb Tarfon Oimer, Asher Golano, the Golas of the same Mitzrayim. That's the pasuk that we just mentioned, the bracha. V'lo Yehoyu Choisim, but he didn't end off Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. But he did say the other nusach shagolanu galus of the same Mitzrayim. But yeah, but he didn't.
And he finished it.
But he didn't finish off Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. How did he finish it? Okay, let's look up the Haggadah. Period. Okay, Hini Mucham Zum Lekai Mitzvahs, Kois Sheni Shal Arba Koises, Shemicha Kitzbrich, he didn't finish off Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. Okay?
But he said the first part of what he said.
Reb Tarfon Oimer, Asher Galona V'Golas Hashem Mitzrayim. That part he said. Do you agree that that's the first part of the Pasuk? Part of the Bracha? That he said. But he didn't finish it off. He didn't say Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. Good. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, no, you say much, much more than my colleague Rabbi Tarfon has said. You say Ken Hashem on the Kelev of Sein. Okay, but Sein, you're getting on me. I don't know. Gam Lachir Ma Boim Lekasen Leshalim. Semeichem Min Yirach Lesos Boi Yisrech Min Oichosham Min Apsachem Min Azvachem Min Azvachem Min Apsachem Min Bach Chalaratzayin. And we're going to say Neshir Chodesh Apnas Hashenu. And he finishes off Ad Baruch Atah Hashem Go Al Yisrael. That's our nusach like Rabbi Kiva. Now the question is, do we have a three-way machloikis in the Mishnah, or do we have a two-way machloikis? Because the Tanakama, when he cited Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and then he said v'choisim begula, you finish off with geula, and then Rabbi Tarfon says no, v'lo yechoisim, you weren't choisim, and then Rabbi Kiva says you were choisim, Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. So the Rishbam, there's a fairly lengthy Rishbam over here. The Rishbam says, that's not a three-way machloikis. It's a machloikis between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva. What did the Tana Kama mean when he said v'choisim begula? V'choisim begula, does he mean that he finished off the Haggadah portion, the Magid portion of the Haggadah, of the Seder night, with the entire geula, meaning Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Geulanu V'Golus Avisenim Mitzrayim, until the end, Baruch Atah Hashem Go'al Yisrael? Does he mean that? Says Reb Tarfon, no. He only meant the first part. Asher Geulanu V'Golus Avisenim Mitzrayim V'Geulanu Zeh Lechol B'Matzu Mar. Period. Boy, say stop. Now let's take the kois in hand and let's drink the next kois. Says Reb Kiva, no. It was a much longer bracha. Etc. Baruch Atah Hashem, Gal Yisrael, and you finish it off. And Rishbam explains that this is similar to the machlokes we had earlier on in our Masechta. When do you have a longer bracha, where you finish off Baruch Atah Hashem, and where do you have a short bracha, that you're not chosen? So you remember we had the Gemara before, that if you have a bracha like Birchas HaMitzvahs, or like Birchas HaNehenin, such as, what do you mean by Birchas HaMitzvahs? Like, you put on the talis every morning, you make a bracha l'sata b'tzitzis. You don't finish off after that again, Baruch Atah Hashem. You just say it once, l'sata b'tzitzis. Similarly, if you go and put on your tefillin, l'aniach tefillin. You don't say l'aniach tefillin again, Baruch Atah Hashem, l'aniach tefillin. No. So those are birchas mitzvahs, which are very short. They do not have a chasima. Birchas ha-peiros, same thing. You're making a bracha shahakal nibidvarei. Boyer Priya 8, Boyer Priya Dhamma. You don't finish off again, Baruch Atah Hashem. So those are brachas without a chasima. And the reason is because those are short brachas that only have one concept. We thank Hashem, done. You don't have to repeat it again. That's what the Tarfon holds. Asher Geulanu Gal Hashem Mitzrayim. And what did you do? Period. You don't continue once. Since it's such a short bracha, you don't have a chasima. However, according to Rabbi Kiva, it's a much longer bracha. You say, "Ken Hashem Elokeinu Gal Yisrael, Yagiel Moyanu Gam Achelu, Abba Nikrasim LeShalom," etc. Noilu Chasher Chodesh Agul Asayna Baruch Atah Hashem. Since it's a long bracha, you have to go and end off
like Alamichi,
like an Alamichi, exactly. So that's why you have a much longer bracha, and you have the bracha at the end. Yeshakoyach. Now, what does it say in our Mishnah? The Noilu Chasher Nabzachem. So therefore, Reb Tarfon and Reb Kiva are just explaining what did the Tana Kam mean b'choisim begula. Do you have to be choisim Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael or no? Yes, the bracha is the geula bracha without a chasima. Reb Kiva says no, it's a much longer bracha, and you have to add Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael at the end. Now the question is, why does it say in Apsachim and Zvachim? Why is it in parentheses? And why do we say in Zvachim and Apsachim? And as you know, in the Haggadah we also have that same in Apsachim and Zvachim, and then it says Motzei Shabbos, you go and say Zvachim and Apsachim. What's going on? So the answer is, sorry?
Motzei Shabbos, we say Zvachim. We don't have a Chagiga.
Let me see what's in this Haggadah. I can't tell you all the Haggadahs, but I can tell you what's in this Haggadah.
More or less, yeah.
We don't have, yeah.
Okay, please look at this Haggadah. Min HaZvachim and HaPsachim, what does it say in parentheses?
Motzei Shabbos and HaPsachim and HaZvachim.
Oh, why?
Yeah.
What's the reason?
I don't know, because you don't have the Chagiga.
So I see Reb Simcha wants the answer. So Reb Simcha, please share with us your wisdom.
Zvachim is like a Shabbos.
And
right, but what about the Zvachim? That's
so
the Kema. And the Rabbanu, we fast like the Rabbanu, but we don't do the Zvachim.
Right. Okay. So Zvachim is what we mutter. Zvachim is what would be in, and then afterwards you have the Zvachim next day, if you will. So you don't have the Zvachim that night, right? You have to sum on Zvachim, correct?
So what Reb Simcha is trying to enunciate is the following. that normally you have Chagigas Yudalit. Why do you have Chagigas Yudalit? So you should be able to go and eat the Korban Pesach ala Soifa. So you first bring the Zvachim, and then you bring the Psachim. And therefore we're saying in the Haggadah, Rabbi Nishleilam, we ask us in Miachim, next year we should be Zoicha to bring Min HaZvachim or Min HaPsachim Lefnei Mizbach Chalaratzim. This is a tefillah for next year. Ah, that's wonderful. It happens to be a regular year. But what happens if it's a year where there's a Mata Shabbos? He says in the Pasuk, not the Pasuk, in the Bracha, according to Reb Akiva, Kein Hashem Lekein Elkei Vaisenu. We ask the Kodesh Baruch a tefillah. Yagi'enu l'mliadim v'l'regolim acherim haboim l'kersenu l'shalom. In future miadim, we should no longer be here on the west side, or in Orlando, or in Muncie, or in Borough Park, or in Lakewood. But rather we should be smeichem bevinyan irecha besasim avodasecha. We should be in Yerushalayim. V'noichu shamu, we should eat from there the zvachim and the psachim. That's in a regular year that you brought the zevach first, the Chagigas Yedalit, and the Psachim, the Korban Pesach, subsequently. However, Matzah Shabbos, like this year, you cannot go and bring the Zvachim on Erev Shabbos. If you can't bring the Zvachim on Erev Shabbos, when are you going to bring your first Zevach? The Chagigas Tezvav, not the Chagigas Yedalit. So you're first going to bring the Psachim, and then the Zvachim. That's why it's Matzah Shabbos, the Psachim, and the Zvachim. However, the Netziv points out, if you have a Netziv HaGadah, I don't have one with me, Netziv HaGadah says, that's all very, very good if you're talking about for this year, you're saying, but each time you're talking about next year, and if this year is Matzah Shabbos, next year it's not going to be Matzah Shabbos. Exactly, so the Chayda, you should only reverse it when you know that next year, in other words, last year, if you knew at the time that this year is going to be that special event, that Erev Pesach Chol Yosef Shabbos, then you could have said last year, then Miachim next year is Min HaPsachim and Zvachim. But this year, the Chayyim shouldn't say.
So you can answer this question the same way again.
Yeah.
Okay. If you hold this leaf, the Haro is this Atzmai, and therefore you're not experiential, so you're right, Kinsiv is correct.
Yeah.
But if it's there's nothing, if I'm asking next year, but right now I'm like within the, I feel like I'm within the time, and if I'm within the time, what? Halacha is, there's no Zvachim, there's only Psachim, Zvachim is afterwards, right?
Right.
If it's like, it's if I'm experiencing my, there's this Atzmai, I'm leaving the time now, Zvachim, if you talk about Haro is Atzmai, Zvachim, Zvachim.
Good. Anyway, so that's where this,
just
this
anyways,
that's, that's the reason why this these words are reversed. Amar Rava. So Rava adds now to the Haggadah that we've already had in the Mishnah. Tzarech Shiyoimer, he has to say Vayitzanu Hayitzi Misham, and we do say that. In other words, in the before we had in the Mishnah that the Tanakhama said the Tan of the Mishnah said that it's required to say Chayiv Odin Liris is Hatzmai, therefore he has to say Bavar Zeh Osa Shem Li Betzaisi Mitzrayim. Absolutely. But says Rava, in addition to that, you have to say Tzarech Shiyoyim Avoysanu Haitzi Misham. That says in the Haggadah as well, that here we have in the Bible. B'chol Der V'dor, I'm reading from the Haggadah, B'chol Der V'dor, Chayiv Odin Liris is Hatzmai, Kilo Hu Yotzim Mitzrayim Shenemar, Begat Lalim Chabayim Hu Leymar, Bavar Zeh Osa Shem Li Betzaisi Mitzrayim. Lo yasabiseinu bilvad gol haKodesh Baruch Hu. Not only abiseinu el af oisano golimam shenemar voisano oitzi misham. Just like Rava says, that's incorporated in the Haggadah, like Rava says. Amar Rav, matzah tzarich lehagbia umor tzarich lehagbia. When it comes to matzahs v'shana oichlim, in the matzahs, in most Haggadahs, you have the instructions. You should go and pick it up. It says pick up the Seder plate, or you pick up the matzahs and show everybody, this is the matzah. Morah tzarech labia, you have to pick up the morah. Basar ain tzarech labia. You don't pick up the basar, even though we say Pesach, Zush, Al Shema, etc. Don't pick up the Korban Pesach. Now, the Lashon of the Gemara until now is ain tzarech labia. It continues on. So not only you don't are not required to, but you shouldn't be magbiyat. Because if you pick up a piece of basar and you say to everybody, hey, this is the basar from Mitzrayim, then it looks like you are chas v'shalom eating Korban Pesach that night, so don't do that. So don't pick it up and don't just say the Lashon of the Haggadah. Omer Vacha Bar Yankiv, Suma Potam Eloimer Haggadah. If chas v'shalom a person is blind, he does not have to say the Haggadah. Why? Ksiv Vacha Bavar Zeh. Uksiv Hasam Beneinu Zeh. Beneinu Zeh is a pasuk by Ben Sorer Umore. And in Masechta Sanhedrin we learn Beneinu Zeh Mal Halon Prat L'Suma or L'Sumin Avkan Prat L'Sumin, meaning that if Chas V'Sholem the father or the mother of the Ben Sorer Umore are blind, then there's no din of Ben Sorer Umore. Why? Because they can't say Beneinu Zeh, they can't point to him because they can't see him. So just like that Zeh implies that you have to have vision to be able to see. Afkan, Ba'avurzeh, also Shem Li, same time as Troim, has got to be Prat Lesulim. Comes to exclude Chas Hashem, a person who's blind. Vaytimar 81 Marmaraymar, Shaltinel Rabban and the Beir of Yosef, Man the Yomar Agadata Beir of Yosef, says Maraymar, I asked all the Talmidim in the Yeshiva of Rav Yosef. All of you were together at the Seder by Rav Yosef. Tell me, who's the leader of the Seder by Rav Yosef? It's not just a leader. Remember the good old days, they didn't have 1,000 Haggadahs with 1,000 different Pirushim and pictures and this and that. Usually, only one person had, or he just said it Baal Peh. So who was the one that said it Baal Peh, and he led the audience in the Haggadah? Amru, Rav Yosef himself. My man, the Omer Agadah to be Rav Sheshes. Who's the one that led the Olam with the Haggadah in Rav Sheshes' home? Amru Rav Sheshes. Now, both Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes, unfortunately, were blind. They were both Nebuch Saginar. The Gemara doesn't tell us how they got blind, but someone showed me many, many years ago a Chidush Haran. I don't remember where it is, Mendy, I'm sorry. So hopefully I'll find it. But the Chidush Haran says that they both became blind. This is Mamish Moira Dik Rabbeis. It's unbelievable. Both of them, separately, were walking down the street, and they saw Pritzus. And they tried it in the Skaber on the Yetzer Hara, and they said, Rabbi Nishalayim, I can't go through this every single day. Preaches day in, day out. I can't. They were mispiled to Hashem, and either they did self-inflicting wound, or through the tullis, they became blind. They asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, or they themselves caused themselves to be blind, so they shouldn't be nichshol. Can you imagine what they would do today if they would really see preaches that we have, unfortunately, today in modern civilization, modern culture? Rachmon Litzlan. Anyway, so both of Yosef and Rav Sheshes were blind. So you just said now that Suman can't lead Haggadah because Abeneinu Zeh and Babur Zeh. What's going on? Everything. Omru, so the Sabeir Rav Sheshes. Omru Rav Sheshes. Kasaber Enfer Dimara, Kasaber Rabbanan, Matzim Bizman Azed Rabbanan. They hold that Matzim Bizman Azed. Not only is Mor Bizman Azed Rabban, but Matzim Bizman Azed is Rabban. Both Matz and Mor are Rabban. And the reason why they're both Midraban, as you recall, we looked up the Gemara the other day, because the mitzvah of Matzim and Mor is connected to Korban Pesach. That it says that Ba'achus Abosa Balayla Zeh, and then you continue on, Al Matzim Sumroim Yechlu. Ah. So just like Mor Bizman Azeh is Drabanon because there's no Korban Pesach, Matzah Bizman Azeh is Utsa Drabanon because there's no Korban Pesach. Why do we hold Matzah Bizman Azeh is Diaraisa? Because the Gemara says another possible Be'er of Toichlu Matzahs. But apparently these Drabanon didn't hold that way, and they felt that even Matzah Bizman Azeh is Drabanon. Since it's all Drabanon, join Drabanon, then even a Summa can go and lead the Haggadah. And that's why he said that Suman are Potter. He holds it is the Rabbanon. What's going on? That even though Tak everything is Midraban, Ablamaisa, they would be Potter Min Hatoira because they're Suman. And it says Bavurzeh. So therefore, it continues to be Potter, even Midrabanon, because of Ken Deraisa Tikkun. So, Vaytimara, the Rishon of Yosef Nami, Havadi called to Karabon came to Raisa Tikkun. How were they able to go and lead the Haggadah? So, Vaytimara, Hachi Hashta, your comparison between the Beneinu Zeh and between the Baver Zeh is not 100%. Why is it not 100%? Hachi Hashta, I can make a distinction. Bishlam Hosam and Havalele Mechta Beneinu. Who? Ukse Beneinu Zeh, Shma Mino, Prat Lesumanu Diyasev. Why do they have to go and point with the finger and say Beneinu Zeh? They can go and refer third person. They're reporting to the Beis Din or to the Rav, to police, whatever. Beneinu, unfortunately, our son is a Ben Tzair Umayr. Do they have to say Zeh? They could have said Beneinu who? Yeah, it's our son. They don't have to go and say point him with a finger. So they have it's Prat Lesun. Avul Hocha Ilah Bavu Zeh, my Lichtoif. Let me ask you when it says Bavu Zeh also Shem Lib says Mitzrayim. Bavu Zeh is something that you can point to. It's not that pointing thing that you have to have vision. Hello, what could it have said about the Matsumaru Diyasa? It's coming to see Baba Zeh because of the Matsumaru that we're going to eat. That's the reason why we're celebrating the night of Pesach, and that's why we're saying the Haggadah, we're thanking the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So therefore, this has nothing to do with excluding a Summa, and that's why Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef felt they can lead the Haggadah after all, as they did. Any questions, Rabbi Sai? Okay, hearing none, we're going to continue mention tomorrow morning once again, 7:40, 7:45 approximately. Have a wonderful day. Hatzlacha Rabbah.